Welcome to Darnley Cyber Cafe. I'm your host, Darnley Gresson Jr. Episode 51. Is the tech boom over? Let's talk about it. So, in this podcast, we'll talk about the layoffs at Silicon Valley. Is this a cost-cutting measure, or is it just purely emotional? The media's fetish in Twitter layoffs and the changes. And also, the violent protests at Foxconn's iPhone City in China. Now, is the big tech boom over? This is a very interesting discussion because let's first reminisce over the past. Now, my generation in particular was sort of the bridge between the old days and the future, around the days of the information superhighway. These are the things that changed our society as a whole. And I assume many of the listeners to my podcast are kind of from each end of the spectrum. And this is a really interesting conversation to have because we sometimes forget about the things we've had before and how much technology has changed our lives exponentially. And this is something that we really need to focus on when we talk about the big tech boom, because the big tech boom really happened around the late 90s, early 2000s. That's kind of where technology reached a point where everyone had a computer. We had broadband internet pretty much in most of the big city homes. And a lot of people have become warm to the fact of using technology. Now, I know it really hasn't significantly taken off until like the early 2010s. But the reason that our society has changed, the reason why there was a tech boom, because there was nothing before that. There was a boom in the technology internet era, sure. But to the way that these big tech companies have taken off since the early 2000s, really changed the technical landscape and those expectations from employers and employees alike. And just think about how far we've come in the last 22 years, how far we've become in our technology endeavors, how far we've become in our resiliency, and how far we've become in our reliance of our technologies. Now, this becomes a big debate between either are we better off or are we worse off when it comes to having technology in our lives? Now, more specifically, in late 2022, going into 2023, is the big tech boom over? This is the million-dollar question. Companies such as Meta, Amazon, Lyft, Robinhood, Stripe, Netflix, Coinbase are all downsizing their companies and organizations. They are also striking away the perks that came with working with these tech companies. Now, some of these perks, such as the big lunches, the work from home perks, having significant amount of holidays or choose your own holidays kind of endeavor, or a specific shuttle service to and from the campus, etc., so forth. So there are a lot of perks from many of these companies that were given to their employees. And these things became sort of standard operating procedures for all these tech companies. As you work for a company that, you know, again, such as Google or Amazon or Facebook, with all these perks that came with working with a cutting edge company, a company that's been around, you know, since the early mid 2000s that allowed you to do whatever you want, or it was just a radical change in what you get from standard, typical American working perspective. So what I mean by working perspectives is going from your home, driving, commuting on the bus, train, to your workplace. You do your 7 to 8 hours, you clock out, you drive and commute back, rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat. Now, these tech companies gave their employees this revolutionary process that allowed the employees to do whatever they want. And the quality of work, or the happiness index from these employees, have raised. And these companies ushered in a new revolutionary way of how employees should be treated. You know, you don't have to grovel with your manager anymore to get a raise. You could just work for one of these companies. If you wanted to use your expertise, because these companies employed not just computer savvy people, but all walks of life as well. And working for this environment radically changed your perspective and viewpoints when it comes to how you should be treated by your employer. So the big tech companies really did change the way that we operated, we worked, and allowed people to become more dynamic when it came to their working mindset. But understand that each of these businesses has its own unique problems in its cost cutting, even during the pandemic, where even when stocks were rising. So even just a few years back, when people were working from home, people were losing their jobs or not working as much in the office anymore, a lot of people bought into stocks on these publicly traded companies, and they were getting a lot of money. The cash injection was so significant that these companies had more money than they did years prior. So that injection allowed these companies to do things, still continue to give perks to their employees, stuff like that. So right now and today, in late 2022, moving into 2023, understand that is the massive layoffs that are incoming or came already for these companies, was this an emotional move, or is this something that has to happen after the many years of expansion? Now, just last spring, you saw companies like Meta and Google reducing the amount of perks that employees would essentially gorge themselves on with every day. And the normal working conditions that these businesses enjoyed for many years seems to be hitting a wall. Now, the problem here is growth or lack thereof. Now, going back a few decades, Google, Facebook, and Amazon and Apple had massive growth, which equal to that massive growth. But these companies are today not growing these ways anymore. So consider the following. iPhone is about 15 years old. Google search is about 20 years old. And YouTube is approximately 15 years old, give or take. So these companies, in essence, has matured, and they're not going to explode the way they were before back in the early 2000s. And that's understandable. Now, if I don't know about you, but do you remember back in 2009 when Apple introduced the new iPhone, the touchscreen iPhone? That was something that took the entire industry by storm and, in essence, killed BlackBerry, because Apple was able to innovate ways that were never heard of. And behemoths such as BlackBerry, God rest her soul, they were a bit behind, and they were the massive tech giants. They had a big market share, but got gobbled up by a revolutionary device. Now, in late 2022, you know, the iPhone has become commonplace. You know, a lot of people have them. Samsung or Android has now taken over another market share as well in the mobile industry. So touchscreens are not exactly the most exciting endeavors anymore. And now we're moving towards flip phones, touchscreen flip phones, which is interesting, but that's another podcast in itself. But tech companies are now sort of, I don't want to say lagging behind, but they're not as innovative as they once were. And the lackluster pomps and circumstances, you will, is long gone and long forgotten. So there's just, you can even see this in Wall Street. They have a lackluster desire from Wall Street itself and many other stock markets, because these companies aren't growing as they once were. It's not exciting anymore to them. But understand that they can still grow. These tech giants can still grow, but with no debt and no shareholders looking for return, these companies still can continue to innovate and grow just a few mere percentages. But they're not ever going to be over the top like they were, you know, many, many moons ago. But this does not mean the tech boom is over. You know, from the bigger tech giants that pioneered the big explosion in the last 20 years, they've just grown into maturity. And although the door is still open for other technology companies to innovate or to release new solutions that would be over and beyond what exists in this point of time, that sort of, I don't know, the pomps and circumstance when new innovative technologies come out. But unfortunately, in the tech sector, I think that a lot of companies are being bullish in their desire to release new technologies, given of how our economy and society has become as of late. So you are going to see business as usual mindsets and little incremental innovations, or the iPhone innovations, as I like to call it, in the coming future. So what does that mean? It's hard to tell. And not being a tech insider myself, I can't sit here and say and make all these presuppositions of what's going to happen in the next 5 years. I personally think that depending on how society kind of unfolds in the next few years, that can really determine on what sort of technologies are going to be released or what sort of demand the market's going to have in innovation. You know, we're right now, a lot of companies are not trying to reinvent the wheel. Computers exist, mobile phones exist. From a few tweaks here and there, there is only so much that we can do. And I'll talk about sort of the labor issues that are coming down the pipe with what's going on in Foxconn as one of many examples. But it's coming to the point where there's so much showmanship going on out there in the world between individuals and companies. It's really hard to kind of put your finger on it. Now, talking about showmanship, actually, let's go on to the media's fetish on Twitter. Now, I don't know about you, but in the last few weeks, I've seen and read various media articles from tech media companies and from the typical media itself, of these various disparaging opinions over Twitter. And it's usual, typical shaming, blaming of Elon Musk. Now, I definitely don't kiss the floor that Elon walks on, but I definitely don't hate the guy either. So I have a very objective opinion about this guy. And as an entrepreneur myself, I can see and respect some of the things that he's doing. But at the same time, I'm not kissing no floor that this man walks on by any means. But I can see objectively the reason that he's doing these things. Now, if you don't or have been not aware of so far, Twitter downsized from its 7,500 employees to 2,700. And the majority of Twitter's senior leadership have been laid off or quit during the acquisition. Now, I understand that there are a lot, and I mean a lot, of political landscaping with these articles, from those left and right-leaning users quitting Twitter because of various political reasons. Now, take this into fact. Elon actually has gone on record, and this is a message he said to his employees when he started taking over Twitter. And I quote, This is not a right-wing takeover of Twitter. This is a moderate-wing takeover of Twitter. To be the digital town square, we must represent people with a wide array of views, even if we disagree with those views. End quote. Now again, I always look at these things with an objective lens. If you look at various companies outside Twitter, and now especially in my experience, when a new leader was put in place with an organization, there is going to be a significant amount of shakeups throughout the entire organization. This is very natural and to be expected. I always see a... There must also be known here too, is that the only thing we can do is having an unbiased perspective at this point in time to see how Twitter gets restructured. And regardless of our own political views, a business was taken from public to private, and there are bound to be a few upsets from business as usual. And this is a key takeaway here, regardless of your perspectives of Elon Musk or whatever political lean that you're on, is that when it comes to business, it comes to business. And I say that because I've personally seen businesses that have changed leaderships and the companies either go one way or the next. And what I mean by that is not a political leaning, but it means if they still continue to be profitable or they start failing. Again, I can go on and I can spend an hour and a half talking about the different businesses that I've dealt with, that I've consulted with, that I've personally worked with, that has changed leadership. So from the top down have changed, and people either leave a company because they really loved the CEO or whoever was in charge of the company, the president, and what the new person just didn't vibe with them well enough, just kind of put very plainly. And these companies did shake up, and there was some downturns. Yes, the company lost some money, they lost some employees, but with the right management, they eventually bounced back and start making profit again. But there was a dip, you know, you can see it through the company culture, and Twitter is going to have that. And regardless of Elon's perspective, and I know he's gone on record saying that, you know, he takes more than he can chew, which is his own damn fault. But again, I have to take my hat off to the guy in his perseverance and desire to, you know, try to make a change. And regardless if it's a good or bad change, you know, he's taken the initiative and done that. You know, you can't say this was all put on his lap, but at the same time, it's his responsibility to manage things properly. So in any case, I do believe that Twitter will bounce back from this eventually, but at the same time, it's very interesting to see all the negative articles out there from various news outlets and media outlets that try to stain Twitter. And regardless of what your perspectives and views and political affiliations are, you need to understand that this is just a company, and there's going to be some changes. So if you like the platform, stay with it. If you don't like it, leave it. It's pretty simple. And it's a good idea to reduce your social media footprint anyways, in my humble opinion, you know, just to keep a select few social media platforms, because you see the young whippersnappers out there who have, who have all these social media accounts, especially my all hated, TikTok app. You just need to understand that, you know, you also need to reduce your social media footprint. And again, this is an entirely different conversation for an entirely different podcast. So stay tuned for that in a later episode. Now let's talk about the protests that have broken out at Foxconn's iPhone City. Now, in recent news, ironically, coming from a tightly information-knit country such as China, we've seen and heard that workers from Zhengzhou, central China, were clashing with riot police. And I say it's ironic because for those who know, and it's not hard to know, to be honest, you just got to do a few searches, is that communist China has a tight lid on their people when it comes to information, especially on the internet, so-called the Great Firewall of China. And the political landscape there essentially tries to reduce the amount of information that goes to people across the country, because they want to control their people and wants to control the information, because, you know, information is power and knowledge. So, you know, Nazi Germany did the very same thing too when it came to their people, indoctrinating their people and reducing that information, such as like book burning and stuff like that, which didn't line up to the ideologies of Nazi Germany. But you know, the same rule can apply here in China, is the communists there are trying to reduce the amount of information. So anyways, I wanted to say that because a lot of things that do happen in China are either filtered or redacted or removed before it even becomes knowledge here in the Western North America, South America, and Europe. Like, there's a lot of things that go on that change the way that we gain that perspective, especially from this country. Now, especially with this, with Foxconn, you know, understand that Foxconn really develops a majority of iPhones and ships them across the world. But these protests started after the workers, who were under very strict COVID lockdowns, basically learned that their bonus payments would be delayed. Early this month, Apple announced it expected to lower shipments of the iPhone 14 models due to these very disruptions. And keep in mind, iPhone City is home to an estimated 200,000 workers who are responsible for literally the vast majority of iPhone production. So if something goes wrong there, you're going to see it happen, reverberate throughout the world in terms of the product delivery. Foxconn's strict COVID rules have isolated employees, forcing them to work on site with limited food and supplies to prevent COVID outbreaks. Many workers have escaped from the lockdown facility, and in sort of a response to this, the company Foxconn promised to give higher salaries and bonuses to retain staff. So basically, they were making all these big promises to stop people from running away, and they were delaying bonuses, which ticked off a lot of people, and they started these riots in response to that. Now, as I said, the Chinese social media outlets have censored these protests, and majority of the footage has been removed from the country. So what does this mean for countries such as ours who depend on acquiring these technology goods? Now, among the many disputes between China, Taiwan, and the Western world, this brings up a pretty sore spot in terms of technological reliability from cheap labor countries such as China. As the demand of our technology services is greater, and the amount of reliability Western countries rely on this technology, perhaps this is a signal for more homegrown technology manufacturing is in essence required to continue the flow of goods. It's not really a rocket science to understand that once we give up our reliance on foreign countries such as China for that, and it's really, personally speaking, it's our own damn fault that this has happened. A lot of the governments, Western governments, just love the cheap labor. And we as the consumers asked for it too. And businesses moved production out to countries such as China, and which had different political agendas comparison to the Western world. And these things are bound to happen when you rely on another country to produce your goods. So not getting into too much of this political theater here, but I do believe that the U.S. is now looking at bringing some manufacturing plants back to the U.S. to stop its foreign resiliency on chips and computer technology components. Because as we've seen with the COVID lockdowns, a lot of shipments from Taiwan and China were delayed. And a lot of ships were sitting in the ocean waiting to offload their cargo onto the shore. And our biggest problem here is not just the trade relations, but to the whole entire process chain in itself. And this chain was broken, and we saw a lot of discrepancies, a lot of low stocks because of our extreme interest in foreign companies in providing us the goods that we need. So this, in essence, has become, especially in the technology sector, this becomes a big red flag, because if an entire country shuts itself down again, let's say, for example, China, if it shuts itself down again and a lot of companies, organizations rely on a country such as China to receive their goods, their goods, their finished goods, then there's going to be some issues, and we're not going to get all the products and services that we've asked for from countries such as communist China. And that's where the whole breakdown is going to happen, and it's going to hurt us pretty hard. Now, in the technology sector, of how significantly reliant we are on the Chinese for these products and solutions is a massive red flag. And a lot of governments and corporations in every respective country, in North America, South America, and in Europe, Africa, etc., needs to understand that the self-reliancy is key here when it comes to technology, when it comes to developing their own technology and their own labor force to keep producing these technologies. Because let's be honest, technology is not going away anytime soon. Technology will be with us for as long as we exist, because we've depended so heavily on technology to work and live that it's just become unheard of just to go back to typewriters and handwritten stuff. It's just not going to happen. So is this the end of cheap technology? Is our reliance on China fading away? Will we be producing technology here in our own countries? Would drive up the cost of technology? Now, that's another conversation for another podcast. From the big tech crush, tech downsizing, and sounding the alarm for reliable technology manufacture processes, we are indeed in a new technology evolution. Perhaps business as usual mantra is a thing of the past, and the technology boom from the early 2000s will also become a distant memory. What is next in line when it comes to our technology sectors? Will it get demolished or become reborn? We'll see in due time. Well, that will do it for this episode. Thanks for stopping by Darnley Cyber Cafe. See you next time.